just have my mic on over here. So, again, excited to be here preaching in front of you guys this evening. I forgot this was the last week, so I'm like, man, the pressure's on right now. And I definitely feel like my cup's full, but my battery might be drained a little bit. So how many of you guys are already ready for the summer weather to kind of get by us? Yes. Ready for it to cool out a little bit, right? So normally when I preach, I'll put my phone up here and for time. But I heard a story about a boy who was watching the preacher. And as the preacher was getting up to preach, he took off his watch and he set it on the platform, or he set it on his pulpit. And he looked over at his mom. He said, "Mom, what does that mean when he puts his watch on the pulpit?" And she said, "Son, it means absolutely nothing." So I will try to be quick. I'm not going to be long at all. But I want to give something I think that God was kind of working on my heart, specifically when we were at Arise. I'm just letting you know now, this is probably something that I believe everyone in here can take something from it, but also it's something that I know I need in my heart. So as I preach this, I'm going to preach it a lot to myself, but if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, and before I read the passage, I'm going to try to build up a little bit of an introduction here, and we'll get into the message. So when we were at Arise, obviously it was just a phenomenal time. You know, as far as the 3 years I went, every single year has been awesome, has been amazing, and just has really been a time of spiritual refreshment and a help for me on my end. But I do believe this year specifically, there was a unity that that just grew past what we've had before, I believe. And if you were there, I mean, again, I don't even think it was just our group. I think the conference itself, just everyone's kind of all on the same page. And I think it's crazy how when we all get on the same page as Christians that something miraculous usually happens. But in our group specifically, there was, we went through basically all that happened. You guys heard the story about Monday and our vehicle breaking down and, you know, all that stuff going on. And, you know, stuff is racing through my head. And then we're going through the week and we're just getting into a rhythm, trying to make sure we're at every activity or not at the activity because we're exhausted and we just want to sleep. But ultimately, when it came to Thursday night, there seemed to be a topic that as we were doing, we gathered together as a group with the teens, myself, and the leaders like we do usually every Arise we're there. And what we'll do is we'll have we would have a bonfire and let the kids roast some marshmallows and stuff like that. And then basically we'd give everyone a chance to kind of talk about what the Lord worked on their heart for that week. And this is kind of where the birth of this thought was coming into my mind. And I know I've talked about it before, maybe even in our class before. But, you know, a lot of our teens were sharing their heart and giving their heart into things. And one thing we want to push fully for our teenagers is to be open and transparent. I talked about that on Sunday. We want our teens to be open. We want them to our young people should, and really all of us should be able to ask why when they're told something, right? I understand as a young child, we don't always have to give the answer why, right? I know as a father of a four-year-old that always answering her why doesn't really get me anywhere. And, you know, sometimes she just, the why, I give her the answer and she just says, why? Again. And it's over and over and over again. But as we mature and we get older, we should always have a why on why we do something, right? And people need to be able to ask us, hey, why are we doing this? Why do we talk like this? Why do we have our Bible the way we do? And we should be able to stand up and be able to answer them according to that. Well, some of that came up, but something a little more serious came up in the conversations. And you can really realize that the young people we have today, that they're dealing with a lot of depression, a lot of heart hurts in their heart. And we might think as adults, man, well, you guys aren't really that far in life. Why is it? But, you know, if you look at the rates of things that young people think about, and the rates of people from the age of 10 years old to 30 years old, the thoughts of taking their own life or the thoughts of depression and hurt are way, way above what they used to be. And it's because they're being bombarded by so many different directions. And so a couple things like that came up in our conversations, and people and teenagers asking, hey, pray for us. I wasn't doing well, but Arise has really helped me in this. And so basically what God was speaking to my heart about was that there's a battle going on in every one of our lives. There's a battle that you start every single day when you wake up. There's a battle that as you walk out of this auditorium, you're going to fight right on. There's a battle that when you go to work tomorrow, you're going to fight. And guess what? When you're at home, teenager, and you're in your bed and you wake up tomorrow morning, guess what? There's a battle you're going to fight. And that battle is right up in here. The title of what I want to talk about is Winning the War in Your Mind. Winning the War in Your Mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, we're going to read a couple verses, verse 3 through 5. It says, "For though we walk in flesh, we do not war after the flesh." I'll stop there for a second. Paul is saying to the church at Corinth that the battle that we're fighting is not a physical battle, right? We all understand that there's a battle that's going on every single day that's something way more than just physical, right? I don't have my battle is not with anyone in this building. My battle is not with anyone outside of this building. My battle is a spiritual battle. It's something that's not seen by my eye, but it's just as real as if it were standing right in front of me today. And there's a battle we have to fight every single day. So Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Again, Paul is basically saying in this, he's saying, hey, there's a battle that's not fleshly, that's spiritual, but also you cannot fight this battle with physical weapons, right? It's not a battle that can be fought physically. It's a battle that has to be fought in another realm. It's a battle that's something outside of our physical sense. So what do we fight with? What tools do we use to fight this battle? And here we see in verse 5, this will be the last verse I read here, but it says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." You see, Paul gives us direction on how to fight this battle. Now, I want to be pretty quick. I don't want to take a lot of time. I can get us out. I'll get us out here on time. I promise. I'll work very hard on that. But I had a couple teenagers. We went out today. We passed out some flyers. We passed out about 80 flyers for the church, and hopefully we see some things from that. By the way, pray for our teenagers as they go out and soul win each month on Wednesday nights. It's a thing that we're trying to grow in our church and really get people involved, and we had a good group going with us today. But if I could get a couple people help, Noah, Joel, you guys come on up here real quick. Brother Greg, do you mind coming up here real fast? And then you ladies, you can come on up here too. Val, are you? I didn't ask you. I asked them earlier. Tori, are you good? All right, come on up here real quick. I'm going to give you guys something here real fast, and I want you to stand on the side of the auditorium. I ask you to. So, Greg, if you can stand over on this side over here on the left side, just stand at the top stair right there. And don't show the sign yet, if you would. Just hold the sign back. If you want to stand over there on that side. And I'm going to need, let me see, I need one more person. Do I have another teenager in here? Teenager at heart. Val, you good? Okay. So you, let me see which one you have. All right, you stand over here on this side. Stand a little bit lower than Brother Greg. Here, you take this. Stand across from Noah over there on that side. And then I got two more here. All right. If you want to take this, Tori, you stand over there on that side. And Val, you stand over here on this side with them. Thank you. All right. So what I want to do here real quick is I want to do a spiritual audit. And I'm going to come down here with you guys. So ultimately, and you guys can hold up your signs here for a second. But when I wake up in the morning, I want to know, hey, if a thought is coming into my mind and I have a battle in my mind, go ahead, Tori, hold up that sign. If a battle is going into my mind, I say, let me see if I got you guys in the right spots here. You guys. Sorry, guys. This is what we're working with here. All right. Let's do worried, eternal, peaceful, positive. Okay. So I know what they are regardless. But when we do an audit, we look at, hey, how is the thoughts that are coming into my mind, what are they affecting, right? On this side, if you looked at your life and you said, hey, are a lot of the thoughts that are going in my life, are they worldly? Do they bring worry to my life? Or are they negative? Right? And you go all the way over to this side. If this was a scale from 1 to 10, and you see, you know what? No, or are the thoughts in my life, are they eternal? Are they peaceful? And are they positive? You know, this is the type of battle we're going to fight every day. If we want to drive the right results in our church, if we want to make sure, hey, we're doing what we're supposed to do in the church, guess what? It's going to start with us having the right mindset. And if we're waking up and we have, you know, if my mind is going to, hey, you know, the first thing when I wake up, am I worried about negative thoughts? Are negative thoughts creeping up in my mind and trying to overtake what I'm trying to do for the day? You know what? Hey, you know what? You're just never going to succeed at this. You're not going to be any good. You know, you're not worth anything. Are those kind of thoughts coming up in my mind? Or am I waking up and am I thinking positively about something? This is, again, a spiritual audit for my mind. Am I saying, hey, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I want to do something great for God. I want to do what God has for me. Are my thoughts negative? Are they positive? Am I thinking about worry or am I thinking about peace in my life? Am I thinking about being having a worldly thought or am I thinking about having an eternal thought? Good job. You guys can go ahead and sit down real quick. So ultimately in my mind, thank you guys. You guys can keep those. It's fine. I'll get them from you later. Ultimately in my mind, are we thinking about the positive and negative or the positive things or the negative things? That is a spiritual audit that we all must take in our life. The Bible says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, what I've noticed in my life is, hey, there's a lot of times I can wake up and I'm just going to be straight up with you guys. Sometimes I can wake up and you know what? Instead of getting in my Bible first, guess what I do? I turn on good old Fox News, and I'm sure that's going to make me super happy and peaceful, and it's going to make me think super positive about life, and I'm thinking, hey, what's going on today? Or, you know, I don't decide to take into captivity those thoughts, and I allow them to affect me throughout my whole day. And you know what, teenagers, as you're going through your life, and you're saying, hey, I'm struggling with thoughts of, I'm just not worth it. I'm struggling with thoughts of, you know, I just don't know if I can make it. Guess what? You got to take those thoughts, and the Bible says that you got to bring them into captivity. You see, the greatest battlefield is not around us. It is within us. Every day, our thoughts shape our emotions, our decisions, our actions, and ultimately, our spiritual health. What we allow to stay in our mind will eventually influence how we live. The enemy knows this, and that's why his primary weapon is deception. A lie meant to trip us up. But the good news is, God has given us spiritual weapons to fight with. Right? What does your mind wander to? You know, the Bible says, again, we read it here, that this battle is not physical. That it's not something we could fight with physical weapons. But also, it says that in verse 5, how do we fight it? It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Basically, the Bible is saying, hey, there's a stronghold in our life that if we allow negative thoughts to penetrate, it will create a defensive stronghold that's going to be very hard to get down. But the way we take that stronghold down in my life is when a negative thought comes to my mind, it says that I have to bring it into captivity. What that word captivity means is literally make it your servant. It means that you are in control of your thoughts and your thoughts don't control you. Right? Teenager, when a thought comes into your mind and it says, you know what? You can't live up to what pastor's talking about. Guess what? You got to take that thought and you can't let that thought control you. You have to be the controller of that thought. You have to take that and you have to captivate it and say, hey, is this thought from God or is it not? You see, that's what Paul was teaching here. He was saying that you got to bring this into captivity and you have to realize, hey, is this right or is it wrong? Paul reminds us that these strongholds aren't physical fortresses, but lies we believed. about God, ourselves, others, and our circumstances. A couple examples of strongholds that you can have in your life is a stronghold like, God doesn't love me. Another stronghold is, I'll never be free from this habit. Another stronghold might be, I'm not good enough to be used by God. You see, our thoughts are not harmless. They shape our beliefs, and our beliefs show out in our behavior. I believe that we have in our church a struggle that we try to fight by putting on a face. We try to fight by doing more works. We try to fight by maybe just working hard. We try to fight by getting a group of people we can talk to instead of going to God and saying, God, help me to remove this from my mind. I cannot be a slave to my thoughts. I cannot, you see, our minds, the greatest enemy you're going to have in your life is not someone outside of this church. Your greatest enemy in your life is going to be right here. The greatest enemy you will have will be in your mind. It's going to bring you down. And I'm sure anyone who's lived longer than me can say the same thing. Your mind will attack you more than anybody else will ever do that. My mind will take me down a wrong road more than any other person could do that to me. If I allow my mind to go off on the wrong track, guess what? You can call me and you can count me out. You know, I find it so hard. It's crazy that you come back from something like Arise, where you were just on a spiritual mountaintop. And it's like right when you get back, and I'm sure you guys have been here, but right when you get back, there's all of a sudden, your mind is just flooded with things that say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you'll never make it, you won't be, and hey, if you're not the only one, I'm going to stand here honest and say, hey, I've been there, right? But guess what? I cannot allow those thoughts to capture my mind. Because guess what? There's truth in the Bible that overcomes those bad thoughts. There's promises in the Bible that say, hey, guess what? Not only is what you're being told a lie, but I'm going to give you the truth on what is actually the right thing to think, right? The Bible says, you cannot fight spiritual battles with human effort. You need God's weapons. It talks about bringing into captivity. It means we don't let our mind run wild. You are not your thoughts. Just because a thought enters your mind doesn't mean you have to entertain it. This is a big point here. You are not a slave to your thoughts. You are the gatekeeper. You see, as a thought comes to my mind, I had someone come to me and say, you know what? And they were being straight up honest with me. They said, Brother Brian, you know, I'm kind of upset because while God was speaking to everyone else, I didn't feel him speaking to me. And I had to sit down with that person and tell them, hey, that's a lie from Satan trying to get, you've been telling me all week how you believe this about, that you want to do this for God and this for God and this for God. And now you're going to sit here at the last day of Arise after everything is here and you're going to say that God didn't speak with you. Guess what? That's a bad thought the devil is trying to put in your mind. He's trying to put something in your mind that is not true. Something he wants you to believe because he knows if he gets you to believe that he can count you out. Right? We have to take captivity. And guess what? That person understood, hey, it's not about, hey, what the devil tries to lie to me about, but it's about, hey, can I identify it? Can I be the gatekeeper of this lie? And can I say, hey, is this thought obedient to Christ? Is it building me up or is it tearing me down? When a thought pops up, fear, lust, anxiety, or jealousy, we have to capture it. We have to identify it. Second, we have to challenge it. And number three, we have to replace it with God's truth. How do we replace a lie with truth? All right. So I've got something for as an illustration here, real quick. Now this is pretty simple, right? How many of you like a good old cup of coffee in the morning? But raise your hand. Not many. Okay. Tea? I'm joking. You know, there's nothing that I like better than having my coffee every morning, okay? If I don't have my coffee, I'm going to be a mess, all right? You know, I'm going to have a headache by 10 a.m. Every morning, I've got to have that cup of coffee. But, you know, everybody knows what this, everybody who's made coffee knows what this simple thing is here. What is it? It's a filter, right? Anybody who's smart knows that, hey, in order to make coffee, you know what you don't do? You don't just take the bag and, you know, pour it in and then pour the water in on top of that. Because guess what? If you just poured the coffee straight in to hot water, you're going to have a bitter, full of nasty stuff as you're drinking it, right? It's going to be all soiled and it's not going to be good, right? But what does that filter do? That filter allows when the water goes through that the contaminants don't go through with it. It filters through what is going on in the coffee and the water, right? And what it makes is it makes a great cup of Joe that I can drink in the morning and I can be ready for the day. That simple filter changes a drink from something that would have been nasty to something that was great, right? Just like that, the Bible says in Philippians, I'll turn here real quick. You guys don't have to. I'm going to talk about it. But just like that, the Bible talks about that whenever we, Philippians 4:8, he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure. He talks about, the Bible says that these are the things we're supposed to think on. The Bible says, think on these things. If a thought isn't true, pure, or lovely, then don't let it in your spirit. You see, if you want to say, hey, well, what do I use to captive, I got to captivate the thought, and what do I do to make sure it's from God? Well, the Bible says there's a filter for you. If it's true, if it's honest, if it's just, if it's lovely, if it's of a good report, think on those things. That is our spiritual filter, right? Teenager, don't allow thoughts in your mind that aren't true, that aren't just, that aren't honest, that aren't of a good report. If you're allowing that stuff in your mind, it's going to contaminate what's going to come out. You're going to, if you allow that stuff to come in your mind and plant itself and root itself in you, guess what? Well, then that becomes true to you. Even when the Bible says, hey, you know what? When that thought comes into my mind that, you know, God just doesn't speak to me. I just don't know what God has for me in my life. But God says, hey, well, you know what I have for you? I have for you that you should be in church on Sunday morning. And you know what I have for you? I have for you that you should be at church Wednesday evening. And you know what else I have for you? I have these other teenagers that you could be an influence to. And you know what, church family, if you say, you know, but I don't know what God wants for me to do. Guess what God wants for you to do? Right now, he wants for you to sit down and listen to the word of God being preached. Not because I'm anything special, not because I've done anything great, but because guess what? We're all here because we want to follow what God has for us, because that is truth. That is what truth is. That is not a falsehood that's being pushed by the devil. Right? If you've been to the point where you say, you know what? I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like I'm going to get something from church today. Guess what? That could be the devil working in your heart, keeping you from something that God has for you in the service that's going to help you and your family and your life. We have to be able to captivate our thoughts and say, you know what? I got to filter these through and find out what's real and what's not. If it wouldn't make it through the filter, it shouldn't be poured into our mind. Here's what these things mean, and I'm almost done here. Paul gives us the filter to run our thoughts through. First of all, if it's true, is it grounded in God's word? Number two, is it honest? Is it sincere and right? Just, does it align with God's justice? Pure, does it reflect holiness? Lovely, is it beautiful in God's eyes? And of good report, does it build faith? I should not allow anything in my mind that doesn't pass through those stages, that spiritual filter in my life. If I want to be, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times, if we're not careful, we're in a group here where we're closely tied in a lot of areas, but we could be vastly different. Okay, if we're just being straight up here. A lot of us are closely tied in some areas when in reality we could be vastly different people. And what can happen when you do that is you're trying to serve with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're trying to do what's right, but you're going to keep seeing things that you don't agree with. You're going to keep seeing things that hurt your feelings. And what happens if you allow that to penetrate your mind and keep it in there? Guess what? You're going to grow cold and you're going to grow bitter and you're going to grow hurtful. And you're going to grow resentful towards the very people who are trying to accomplish the same goal together. If I do not capture the thoughts in my mind, guess what? I could be working with someone who I truly care for and love, but because I allow the devil to see the negatives about that person, it allows my mind to think. I wake up in the morning, it's like, you know what? I just hope they have a bad day today. I just can't stand this person. Why would they do that to me? And what I've done is I've allowed that bad thought to penetrate and to root itself in my mind. There's a war going on, people. The war isn't with my family that's in here. The war isn't with you guys. The war is we're fighting a devil together. That war is the devil will put those thoughts in our mind. And guess what? If the devil can't stop us from reaching others for Christ, guess what he's going to do? He's going to try to attack us from the inside. He's going to try us to get at each other. He's going to try to get us to attack each other from behind each other's backs. That's what the devil wants. That's not what God wants. God is not the author of confusion, right? God wants us to take those thoughts and to drive them as far away from us as we possibly can. Because guess what? You're not a servant to your mind. You're the gatekeeper. And what goes on in your mind is not something that you can't control. You can control what goes on in your mind. It just takes, and I can control what goes on in my mind, but it takes some initiative to do that. Right? That is the filter. Renew our mind daily. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind doesn't stay clean on accident. It must be washed daily in the Word. What you feed grows. If you constantly feed your mind with media, negativity, and distractions, don't be surprised when anxiety and temptation grow stronger. Make time every day to meditate on God's truth. Here, see, the whole point is, as we go through this, we read in Corinthians, Paul says, through the Holy Spirit conviction, through the Holy Spirit writing in this book, he says to take captive every thought and put it in that filter. But we can win. You see, the war is real. The lies are loud. But you are not helpless. In Christ, you have the authority to tear down strongholds and think with clarity. You know, when a lie comes in and says, I can't make it, you got to replace it with, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. When a lie says, I'm not good enough, the Bible says, through my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, those lies the devil wants to put in your mind, the lie that he's working on in your heart right now, that maybe you're not in the right spot, the lie that God's working in your heart saying, you know, maybe things aren't just going to work out. Guess what? The lie that the devil's putting in there, you have to fight that. You have to pull that out. You have to uproot it, because guess what? It's not just you you're going to hurt. It's your family. It's your generations. It's your church. Guess what? There's many a churches, many a families that have been hurt because of bad thoughts being cultivated and grown in water. We cannot water our mind with evil thoughts. We have to uproot those. We have to. But guess what? We can do that. There's a reason we have a Bible. The reason we have a Bible is not just to open it up and read a couple words. The Bible never talks about reading the Bible. Okay, every time the Bible talks about itself, it says things like meditate on the Bible. Right? Reading the Bible is, I could go read a book, and you know what? I could walk away the same as before. But when I meditate on something, I'm allowing it to come with me after I've left it. Right? When I read my Bible, it's not about just reading words. It's allowing those words to penetrate my heart and taking it with me. And when the devil tries to bring that lie, you know, it's funny because as the devil does that, a lot of times God also, maybe you guys have been here before, but God gives you just the right verse, just the right passage for that week that says, you know what? This is the truth. So guess what? That lie is not going to be cultivated anymore. I've ripped it out. I've gotten rid of it. And now I can start laying the good soil. Right? Your mind can be your worst enemy, but that's not the end. Your mind can also be your best friend. Your mind can be what takes you to the next step in Christ. Your mind can be the very thing that allows you to overcome the challenges and the problems that you might have faced from a child. Things that you thought you would never get over, guess what? If you change your mind, you might be able to change your entire destiny of you and your family after you. You know, there's studies that go on that say if you, this is not just a Bible thing. People talk about this all over in science, and I was in sales before, and a lot of it has to do with what's going on up here. When you're talking to people, it's all about what's going on in your mind, how you think about something. The power of positivity. Attitude determines altitude. And they say that if you allow your mind for 90 days to change, and you say, hey, you know what? I'm done thinking the way I thought. And you allow your mind to think for 90 days on what you should be thinking. The studies have shown that you can completely change who you are right now into who you always thought you could be. If you just take 90 days, you say, you know what? When I wake up tomorrow, when I go to bed tonight, I'm not going to think about negativity. I'm going to allow my mind to focus on what's positive, that God's working in my family. You know what? Times might be tough. You know what? The economy might be hurting. You know what? My family might be having some problems. But guess what? You know, and I know, God is still good. God's done so much for me. If I allow myself to dwell on all that negative, yeah, you know what? I could go down in the depths, and I could be in despair the rest of my life. But if I say, you know what? For a short period of time, I'm going to focus on what I need to. Guess what? We could turn this area around for Christ. Because now we have a mind that's helping us. You know, our minds are powerful tools. God built it. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, what is it? So is he, right? Who you think you are is who you actually are. Teenager, who you think you are right now is who you're going to grow up to be. If you think of yourself as someone who's trying to do great things, guess what? You're probably going to do great things. If you think, you know, I don't know, I'm not worth much. Guess what? Even though it's not true, unfortunately, you're going to probably live that out. I challenge you today. I challenge everybody in here, including myself. Let's take into captivity those things in our mind. Let's catch it. Let's challenge it with scripture, and let's replace it with truth. One last story, and I'm done. Has anyone heard the story? You don't have to say anything, but has anyone heard the story of, and if I say this name wrong, sorry, Luis Zamperini. Has anyone heard of that name before? I knew Brother Eric, you were going to raise your hand. What was it?
He's from where we were from.
Oh, really? Awesome. So you can correct me on this story because I'll be completely wrong maybe. But, you know, Luis Zamperini was an Olympic runner and a World War II bombardier. He survived a plane crash in the Pacific Ocean, drifting for 47 days on a life raft. He was captured by the Japanese, and he spent over 2 years in brutal prisoner of warfare camps, suffering starvation, torture, and psychological torment. You see, he was in there for a while, but as we skip forward, we see that after the war, Zamperini was actually able to return home, but he returned home a broken man. The war was over, but the battle in his mind had just begun. Nightmares plagued him. Rage and hatred consumed him, especially towards a guard that was nicknamed the Bird, who had tortured him relentlessly. He tried to numb his pain with alcohol and nearly destroyed his marriage. But guess what? There was a turning point. In 1949, Lewis's wife convinced him to attend a Billy Graham crusade. On the second night, he gave his life to Christ. In that moment, his war with God and within himself ended. He described it like this: I knew I was through getting drunk. I knew I was through fighting. It was finished. I felt clean. I had a peace I'd never known. You see, there was victory that overcame Zamperini at this moment when he listened to Billy Graham. There was victory in his mind because he took those thoughts that were torturing him and hurting him, and through Christ he dispelled them and he became a new man. And it says the nightmares stopped immediately. He, in fact, ended up forgiving that person, the Bird, and even tried to meet with him years later to offer peace. He became a Christian speaker, sharing how the love and truth of Jesus set him free, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually. How many of us are so tired of losing the battle in our mind because something happened to you, because something happened to me that did hurt us deeply. But we're not allowing the truth of God to penetrate through and say, God, you know what? I'm giving that up to you. I want to be like a Louis Zambrini who is willing to forgive even people that would torture him and hurt him. You say, how could someone do that? Guess what? They won the war in their mind. Through Christ, they won the war that was up here. I challenge us, let's win that war in our mind. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for this evening you've given us. Lord, I thank you for everybody here. Lord, I know this sermon for me is more, I'm preaching it for myself. God, I know that my mind can be the place where I allow either the hardest things to come in and I allow it to fester and become wrong, Lord, or I can captivate it and I can throw it out, Lord. And I know through your power that I've been able to do that sometimes, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, if there's any thoughts in here that could keep us from following after you, God, any thoughts that would keep us as we're coming back from a rise and we're coming on a spiritual high, Lord, I no doubt would say, Lord, I know that there's people in here that have went to a rise literally last week, but are struggling at this very moment to stick with the decisions they made at that point. God, I pray that you'd help them to take those negative thoughts in their mind, Lord, and cast it away with your strength, with your power. God, I pray that we'd get in our Bible, we'd get close to you, God, and we come together as a church, and we'd be of one mind so that we could reach this area, Clayton and Johnson County and Raleigh and North Carolina and our country for you, God. Please, Lord, help it to start with me. Help this fire to go out from this area, Lord, and just people to see a difference in who we are. Thank you for all you've given us, Lord. I praise in your precious and your wonderful name. Amen.